mentioned. It's good. It's good. The air is very clear up here. Very, very good. We are delighted to be hearing from Belinda in a few minutes. Really excited about that. But how many of you have been going okay with your additions and subtractions? How many of you have been going okay with your additions and subtractions? Yeah, come on. So good. Who's been really struggling? I've been struggling, it's true. I went to McDonald's on, what day was it? For the kids. It's for the children. Heal the world, make it a better place. And so I went because there were lots of kids that wanted McDonald's, and I ordered something, this is true, and I got, obviously, and then I got home, and it was a egg and cheese McMuffin for breakfast, and I was really excited about it, so I was really hungry, and I got home, and I opened up the packet, and I looked at it, and I was like, I can't actually eat this. So I stripped it back and just ate the egg, and I thought that was really, come on, it's good, thank you. Thank you so much, I did really well. Then I was absolutely starving after that. Okay, cool. Awesome. But it's been a really, really good time. I'm going to talk to you guys at the end about Bible translations. But I don't want to... But today, I'm so excited to have... Wow. Belinda is on today. And we're really excited for what she is going to bring. So why don't we welcome her as she comes. And then I'll come back on at the end. Bless you guys. Come on. Woo!
I still have to do the announcements. Okay. Oh, I thought you said you can do the announcements now. I was like, you know, when you preach, you think, yeah, if you can turn that down just one, sometimes it catches your papers. When you preach, you just, you know, I think, yes, day off. I don't have to do announcements. But anyway, it's good, good. Hello. Welcome to week 2 of the prophetic intensive. Are you doing well? Do you know, I got a picture in the worship actually that some of you, and it's like on a skateboard going down a hill, and there was like that feeling of like, I'm getting the speed wobbles. You know when, for those that are skaters, the speed wobbles is like, you know, start to get that, you know, the bit of the wobble. And that first instinct is to want to jump off and actually just go, I'm jumping off, I've got the speed wobbles. And I just saw the Lord just say and to reassure that I'm actually teaching you to, like, I saw then the motion of people, and I don't even know whether this is correct when you get the speed wobbles, but for this analogy, this is what the Lord said. It was the bending down. It was like the squatting down lower and holding your weight. And he was saying to us not to jump off, but actually I'm causing you to build strength in new muscles, and that those muscles would actually stop the speed wobbles because you are now learning to balance, to pick up the pace, but you had to like lean in and let those new muscles be built up. So if you're feeling like this week has been a bit of the speed wobbles on a skateboard going downhill fast, don't jump off. Learn to just go, okay, he's putting in me a capacity to build new strength in muscles that you may not have used before. So that's what I was seeing in the worship. So if that doesn't align with how you would get out of a speed wobble, then just, you know, don't do that in the natural, or do. Just ride it out. Okay, just ride it out. That's good. Good word. Ride it out. Excellent. So, over these 7 weeks, you're going to hear from, you know, a few of us. We're going to all bring something incredibly different over the facet of the prophetic and what that looks like. For me today, I can never get away from the whole thing of responsibility. That's just like a constant thing for me, is like, what are we responsible for? And the other part of why why I'm speaking today is also having an understanding of reading the times. So these are the two things, that two prong, I guess, today that you're going to hear from me. And if you weren't here this morning, Maddie preached an epic word. If you weren't here this morning, I want you to listen to that word because I want this word to marry with what she was saying because it gives actually like a real landing place for what I'm talking about today. So we're going to go launch and apologize a few of the luminaries out here. You've heard some of this word before. Actually, I'm not going to make an apology because actually we probably all need to hear it again. So here we are for some of this word. It's not all the same, but there's a couple of scriptures in here that you'll recognize. So Daniel 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Now I want to jump to Jeremiah 25:11. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland. So this is Jeremiah prophesying what Daniel's just read. Desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then the Chronicles, do you have the Chronicles one there as well? To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath, all the days of its desolation it kept Sabbath, until 70 years were complete. So the context here is Daniel is reading through these scriptures. Now, I imagine Daniel, who was a man that was in the Word, Daniel was reading that, and this time it jumps out of him. This is now. It gets quickened to him. Wow, hang on, 70 years? So just like the sons of Issachar, he reads the times that he's currently in, and he knew exactly from that point what he needed to do. So he realizes that this is the 70 years that Jeremiah was talking about, because he's done the calculations and gone, hang on a minute, this is exactly that time frame. So yes, he got it prophetically in the sense that the Holy Spirit showed him that, but the other part was he simply read the times. He simply was able to do the calculations and go, that is this season right now. He's connecting the dots in the natural to be able to perceive what needs to be done in the spirit. So I really feel God's emphasis in this season is comprehending what it looks like to operate just as the sons of Issachar did. So the sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. So this tribe, along with the other 11 tribes, so all 12 tribes send out to David people ready to go to war because they recognized we are going to come out with David because we want the kingdom of Saul to be turned over to the kingdom of David because we know that this is the word of the Lord. But the sons of Issachar, when they come out with all their kinsmen. So they come out with their families to go, okay, we're going to battle. And why? Because they know what to do and when to do it. They were able to perceive this is the season that we're in. They discerned that God was with David. What the sons of Issachar were able to do, not just in this incident of David, is that they were known to be able to perceive the patterns and the types. They were always constantly looking. They studied the Torah, so they had an understanding of the word and therefore knew the nature of God and what they were looking for. And as they studied that, they're also studying the movements within the stars and the planets. And we're not talking here astronomy or astrology in the sense of like something occultic. We're talking about a biblically led, spirit-led understanding of what's happening within the stars, within the planets. And this also gave them the ability to understand a chronological time as well. So they knew then that God was with David, reading all of these signs. And so even the sons of Issachar, that tribe was also the tribe that was would call the whole nation of Israel into the different Jewish feasts. So they were the ones that were able to perceive, okay, this is the season we're in, this is now this feast at this time for this reason. So they knew when to do it because of the reading of the times. Now, a type of sons of Issachar is when you look at the three wise men. So the three wise men just didn't rock up one day and just happened upon, oh, this is Jesus. Like, you know, who'd have thought he would have popped up here? Like, just these were operating in that same spirit of reading the times and reading the seasons. What were they doing? They were positioning themselves to go, the morning star. What does that star, what is it going to look like? How is it going to appear? They had an understanding of being able to read that time. And not only like, you know, back, you know, centuries before that, they also then knew what to do. The same spirit was upon them to be able to read it and now go, what must we do? We must be the people that go out to worship this king. They knew exactly where they needed to be at exactly the right time. To get that timing within a couple of months, I think it is. What was it, years? But the three wise, someone was like, the three wise men. Anyway, within the first year of the birth, or when exactly it was, coming out to not only come to worship, but they knew that this king would need the gifts, would need the gifts to sustain his ministry going forward. And so there, you know, this is what it looks like to be have an anointing of the sons of Issachar, of reading the times and reading what to do. So in the context of David, they knew this is the man we've got to get behind. And you also see like other examples of getting behind Deborah with Barak. She was like, okay, this is the Lord, this is where we need to be. And the sons of Issachar right there, that tribe, in ready to go to battle because they knew that God's with Deborah. So we know where we need to be stationed, right in, tucked in and helping this battle so that they knew how to win. So they always knew who to follow, who to get behind and what to do next. I don't know that they were ever really taken by surprise. I'm sure as they, you know, some of them have moved away from the Lord, that, you know, that, then that it doesn't apply anymore. But while your heart's positioned in that place, then you have the capacity to also operate in the same anointing. So what strikes me is that they not only knew how, you know, what to do as an individual, but they also knew what nations needed to do. This is an invitation, guys, of us having an understanding that we, if we read the times, read the seasons, then we have the ability to pull a nation back on track. The handing of the kingdom from Saul to David pulled the entire nation back onto scroll. So when we perceive where we need to be and what we're meant to do, then we have an ability to pull that nation, if we put ourselves in the right place, to actually pull that nation back onto scroll. Now, the sons of Issachar, interestingly, that tribe was given, I didn't know this until, you know, researching it in the last couple of weeks, that tribe's actually given what is still to this day referred to as some of the most fertile land in all of Israel. So I don't think that's by coincidence. So that parcel of, you know, where that tribe was given that land, most fertile and still, you know, has been labelled the breadbasket. That's what that part of Israel is called. And it's known for crops, cattle, wine and dairy, which, you know, really struck me as like the land flowing with milk and honey. This is the fertile land. And why I don't think it was coincidence that it was given to Issachar is because they would then have known the patterns and the types and the seasons, and to know what to watch for, what to put into the land, what would be indicators of like, well, this is starting to pop up out of the ground, so therefore we're in this time and these rains are coming and this, you know, indicates it's going to be a dry summer. And you know, those things of patterns and types and cycles, I absolutely believe, like I can't prove that, but I believe that this is a real possibility. They were given that land because they would know what to do with it to be the most fruitful. That they would know what to put in so that they had the greatest level of harvest. And then knowing what to do with the harvest once it popped up, how to store it, how to distribute it, how, you know, to prepare for other seasons. And so I'm convinced that we are called to operate in a very similar vein, to know that this, you know, spirit and of knowing what to do is available for us. So we don't always have to wait for the prophetic dream or the prophetic vision or someone to say, this is the prophecy. We're also, so it's not discarding the other, but it's saying, but also make sure that we are aligning ourselves to read the cycles, read the hints, read the patterns, the seasons that are currently before us. But I'll say this, you have to do it in the Spirit. You can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit leading you in that. Because if you just follow patterns and types, then you are prone to go off into conspiracies that are not plumb line, not truth. So you have to do it in that place of saying, okay, I'm not going to be going to false teaching, false understanding of the season. And you're hedged in by that when you allow the Holy Spirit to show you what things you need to know. And then you know where to be positioned and what is your response going to be. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a few of us that got nearly identical words about South Australia being the food bowl or food basket, very, very similar actually to, you know, what we saw with the tribe of Issachar, is that we all around the same time frame got these prophetic words and saw that South Australia became this food bowl for the rest of this nation. And then at the same time, we were getting prophetically, a number of us, that we were called, particularly in this house, but also this state, that it would be a Joseph company. So we get these prophetically, so this is the invitation for something of the future. These things don't just manifest accidentally. If we truly want to be that food basket, then we have to lean in to know prophetically what we're meant to do next, but also the reading of the times and the seasons that we're in. So we have to know that, you know, there is an intentionality that needs to come when we bring, you know, when we get these words, the intentionality needs to be there of like, how do we then land what it is that we've seen in the Spirit? So you're moving away from just the prophetic, you're also now going, okay, I'm reading the signs. So what are we, you know, in the instance of that food bowl example is like, okay, God, what are you saying about the seasons? What are you saying about farmland? What are you saying about fertile lands? What are you saying about these things? You know, we have to be ready. And we had, one of the clearest pictures I had in 2020 was we had a farm. And I remember saying to the eldership, we've got a farm. The Lord's giving us a farm. Like I saw it clear as day, and we were, you know, there was lots of people harvesting this land and giving of, you know, the fruit of that land, to which they were like, thought it was a little bit funny because, you know, me of all people, we've got farmland. Well, you dealt it. You've got to now do it. So that was perceived prophetically. But then it was then reading the signs and the cycles and the watching, you know, the laws changing for land to be, you know, people to be displaced from their lands, watching other bills come in, watching the bees be, you know, pretty much wiped out through the whole of New South Wales, watching all of these things coming down the track, down the pipeline, to bring restriction, to bring taxes on farming, to bring, you know, just crippling of this. So you're watching and you're reading at the same time of you getting something prophetically. So you get this prophetically in 2020, and then you start to go, I'm perceiving that, you know, operating out of the spirit of perceiving the cycles, perceiving the things in the natural, to then also go, okay, you are speaking here about finding solution. And like a son of Issachar, you're just not going, okay, I can perceive this is the season we're in. It's like, well, how then do we, where do we need to position to push back darkness? Where do we need to position to make sure that we have that farmland, that we have, you know, the fruit of our labor ready to go, that we are praying in for this state to be what she's called to be, that food basket, to putting those things in the natural and the things that you're perceiving and going, okay, what's the solution? And do you know what's sometimes a really good indicator for cycles is actually history. Looking back over history, because, you know, Ecclesiastes, it talks about, like, there's nothing new under the sun. There truly isn't. And so sometimes just to get a read of what the future might look like is actually just perceiving what the history has been. Because do you know that the enemy's schemes, he's not creative, and over centuries, he looks very similar, the patterns and the cycles over and over and over again. And so we don't need to even be, you know, rocket scientists to know that, hang on a minute, this looks very, very similar to what we've seen in the past. And, you know, so it becomes almost inexcusable for us to not have a clue that, you know, too many things, you know, some things will sneak up on us. I totally understand that. But we should have a pretty good read and be ahead of the game for the sake of the people that don't know him, so that we're able to go, okay, we've read these signs and we know what's coming. And now, not only that, we know where we need to be to push back that darkness, push back that agenda. You know, you look through kings and it's like one king up, one king down, one king, like, you know, kingdoms up, king. It's like constant, like, ups and downs of the kingdoms. Not much has changed. So you are able to get a read of, like, okay, what came? You know, spirit of repentance, like crying out what for the Lord to move, people's hearts made right, like, you know, all of these different things. So we're always, if we're led by the Spirit, we're going to be ahead of the game. We're always going to find solution. So we're never in despair at what we read. The sons of Issachar were never in despair over, like, this is what I'm getting a read on. Why? Because they also then knew where to position themselves to push back, to be in a place of victory and to win. The same deal for us is, like, push back, know exactly where we need to be positioned. So they positioned themselves with David, who obviously was handed back the kingdom, who was a God-fearing man. This was God's will. So we need to know exactly where we need to be in the battle so that we too can know how to fight and where to fight. Because you don't want to be fighting with the wrong tribe. And we have the advantage over, you know, is that we have the Holy Spirit. So it's really not even a fair fight. We can read these things in the Spirit and also Holy Spirit in and through us to actually be the solution to these things. So I come back to Daniel. So when Daniel says he understood the scriptures, he's discerning, obviously, this is where we're at. This is the season. And obviously, he then knows what to do. It's an invitation for us, guys. So when we align to his truth and we're looking for his patterns, hints, seasons, and knowing where the enemy is going to work, we're never going to be caught unawares. I totally believe that. So the 200 chiefs, with all their, you know, their kin, are right there in the middle of the place of victory because they knew where to be. Now, the second part of my message is the responsibility aspect. So it's one thing to be able to discern the times you're in and know what to do, but it's also another thing about taking responsibility. You've got to understand that you play a big part in seeing his kingdom come. I'm passionate about this. I probably ad nauseum talk about this responsibility, you know, and when you even just look at the definition of responsibility, something that is your job to deal with and be responsible for. You know, if in your heart you're like, well, it's probably someone else's job. What if it's yours? What if it's your job to be the solution to what you perceive in the cycles and the patterns and all the things that you're getting prophetically? You know, so often in the prophetic stream that we've been part of, there's been a real emphasis just on, you know, getting the word. Sometimes it'll be like, I've just released it on social media, or I went and just released it to the person that it was personally for. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. But if it always just stops there, and there isn't the question of what else does he want me to do with what I'm seeing? How does he want me to be a part of that solution? So we've got to move into a place of this real emphasis on accountability and responsibility. If not you, then who? We say it all the time. I always get this picture like of Daniel. Like, can you imagine Daniel had read that and then just acknowledged it and went, God, is that 70 years? Is that now? Wow. God, I wonder when you're going to do that. How are you going to do that? Do you see the difference of posture? Daniel, there was not one moment that Daniel didn't think he was part of that solution. So he goes straight into being that solution. So if you read Daniel 9, verse 3 to 5, a little bit of scripture here, but it gives good context. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. And then Daniel, the other one. So Daniel 9, verse 16. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of your sins and the iniquities of your fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, O God, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For you are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay because your city and your people are called by your name. So this is Daniel's response. Daniel goes directly into repenting on behalf of a wicked generation that just wasn't listening to God. And he cries out to him and prays and says, please forgive them. Release them. So he's like putting like a demand on the Lord. But what stood out as well was that he is reminding God of who he is. You're a covenant-keeping God. You're a covenant-keeping God, and on that alone, God, I am pulling on your who I know you to be, your nature and your covenant with these people. And so he's pulling on that and just saying, okay, in light of that, let's see the answer. You can only do that if you actually do know the nature of the Lord, if you know the nature that he is a covenant-keeping God. So he knew intimately who the Father was to him. So keep in mind that this, you know, when he's reading this scripture, 70 years comes up, and nowhere is there anything prophetic that says, out of Jeremiah or out of the Chronicles scripture, and Daniel will be risen up to... There was no prophecy assigned to Daniel being a part of that solution at all. There was nothing. No indicator that Daniel was the answer. So regardless of that, what does he do? He discerns the time and immediately goes into a place of responsibility. He, you know, is crying out for the Spirit, God, your Spirit to move and for this now to come to pass. And I think sometimes in the body we are now looking for too much permission, we're too nervous, like, well, it didn't say me specifically, so is that really, you know, am I meant to be the answer? And we defer more on this end of expecting that it's going to be someone else. When God's saying, I want for all of us to almost, you know, in your estimations of your, you know, who he is in you, just to go, likely I might be the solution to this if I'm seeing it. What part do I have to play? But the key to all of this was Daniel knew the Father's heart. And likewise, that is a key for us. We have to know the Father's heart about what he wants to do. Because when you know your identity is firmly rooted in him and knowing like the power and how he can move and what he wants to do, like you have authority, all authority to call in some incredible things. We can't defer it anymore. And, you know, after Daniel obviously prays these prayers, you know, I won't go into the scriptures that back this up, but you see Cyrus gets risen up. So you see a Cyrus risen up who says, need to rebuild the house of the Lord and we need to let the people of Israel go. Let my people go. So Cyrus gets risen up, and I totally believe if we didn't have a Daniel, what does the Cyrus look like? That these two came together. There was a pairing between the two of them. That once he, you know, rose up and took authority and pulled on the nature and how God wanted to land, then Cyrus was able to be risen up for the people to be delivered. So you see from, you know, one man, the kingdom manifested, one man taking responsibility. Discern the time, and God was poised. He was ready. God was looking, searching for, okay, where can I land this prophetic word of the 70 years? Where can I have a place of partnership to be able to move on this? So one man who intimately knew God was able, by the Spirit and his prayers and authority, was able to physically see a nation come into freedom for the people to be let go. And do you know what? We sometimes look back on that as a story of Daniel, that's pretty cool, but that's an invitation. What does that mean now? You, as one man, has the capacity when he shows you something, whether you discern it as the sons of Issachar kind of anointing or whether you get it prophetically, that you have the ability to land that changes within nations. We just have to know who the Father is to us and what he wants to do through us. So the invitation is there for all of us. And I know that, you know, one of my catchcries since 2020 pretty much, not on my watch. And I think that we all, you know, need to take that stance of just like, not on my watch. You know, while I live and breathe on this earth, then these things that I'm saying, I'm going to know which battles he's calling me into to be the solution for that. That you have to step into that rightful place of spiritual government. I'm not saying you are called into every little pop-up that you see. I'm saying discern in the spirit what areas he's giving you authority for. Because you have the same authority as Daniel did. So know what it is that he's leading you into. Because if he starts to show you something and there's this constant, like, can't let it go by the spirit, you're like pulled into it over and over again, there's a very good chance that's metron. That's your jurisdiction to then go, well, what am I meant to do with that? And that's, you know, a part of the testimony that I carry, which I can speak with some level of authority on, is, you know, I had an understanding of spiritual responsibility. And so we have seen, for many of us, favor like we've never seen before because of what we had an understanding of spiritually that we needed to take responsibility for. Now, I'm not saying that this is a formula for, you know, things to come, you know, come full circle in a natural sense. But what I am saying is that, you know, in March 2020, when everything blew up with COVID, there was a small group of us that actually just went, you know what, not on my watch, and really felt the Lord called us to start praying twice a week, you know, which is a massive commitment when you've got a small family, and the Lord's like, I'm asking you to intercede for this, for all things governmental. Now, it wasn't just political, that even though there was a lot of that, it was pulled into a space where it's like, we're taking responsibility because clearly things are happening in this nation right now, across the nations, that we need to stand in the gap. We need to stand in that place. So we positioned ourselves there, and we have seen so many answers to prayer. And I know so many of you are also, you know, attached to different intercessory groups, and many of you are intercessors that pray, and you would have similar testimonies of things that, you know, God showed you and you took responsibility and you stood firm and you prayed that thing until, you know, you start to see the manifestation of that. And we certainly felt as a, you know, this small group that God had given us the spiritual gate over South Australia. We weren't the only ones. So we're not saying that, you know, we're this elite group that, you know, others have also stood up in the spirit and said, we are taking responsibility for this state. We know what she's called for. We know, you know, the scroll, some of the things that are on her scroll, and this is not it. And so therefore there's invitation to actually go, okay, we are believing for it going the way that God wants it to. So we started, obviously, you know, some of the testimony of this house is that we in the natural started to engage the political stuff in 2021. But what some of you don't know is that we had been praying into all of this for over a year before we saw anything in the natural of solution where we were physically boots on the ground. So that's the background to, if you want to see a real like shifts and moves, it's like you take first that responsibility in the spirit to govern that place that he is calling you to be part of the solution. And you know what? We still haven't given up praying regularly together. Because just because now everything's set in motion, we're seeing things happen on multiple mountains of physical, natural answers, now we continue to pray into that and the full establishment of it in the natural. And so back in 2021, one of those fights in the spirit was also the abortion bill, which actually, you know, was a real wake-up call for many of us. So we not only prayed, but we also lobbied. We did everything that we knew how to do. But as we were praying one day, I remember I go into this vision and standing at the edge of the tap were all the Christians basically willing and praying for the dirty waters to stop coming out of the tap. And so what they were doing was this, they were slowing down the feed of the dirty, muddy waters, but there was not like, you know, there wasn't victory there. And then all of a sudden, like in the vision, God shoots me down the other end of the pipeline. And I heard so clearly, he said, if you want to influence the waters and clean up the waters coming down this pipeline. So this is specifically was around the time of the abortion bill. We have to, me personally, but also others, have to position ourselves. And I believe that this is a type. It's not just out the political mountain. This is an invitation for whatever mountain you're called into. Is like just lobbying and being at this place under the tap is too late. We have to be more effective in that we have to be down the pipeline influencing the waters that come down the pipe. And so wherever you're called into, we're not all called into the political mountain. But wherever you are called into, you need to be positioned in the place of the most influence that you can have for those, you know, things coming down the pipeline. So for us, it was like if we position ourselves at the end of this pipeline, we can actually influence the laws that are trying to be passed within this state. And so that's how that came about. And so we didn't win the abortion bill. We did get some good amendments, which is far better than a lot of the other states. But what it did was then pulled us into saying, God, what else? What else should we be doing? Where else do we need to, you know, be responsible and put our hand up and put our, you know, hand to the plow and get in there and just and do it? And that's, you know, that's historically how we then came to have so much influence within the South, you know, South Australian Liberal Party. Now, how the details of, you know, what's happened to get to where we are is less important than just knowing that the reasons why we have that influence is because we as a tribe were able to go, like the sons of Issachar, I know you're going to remember that name because I've said it so many times, and like the sons of Issachar, that we were able to get a read on the season and the time that we were in. We were able to also get it prophetically and then not to then defer and think someone else was going to be the solution to that, but having an understanding that it's likely that we needed to be the solution to that. So we have to take responsibility in the areas that he's called you to. Don't expect someone else to do it. And if he asks you to do it, just to be willing, even though sometimes you're going to feel underqualified, you're going to feel scared, you're going to, you know, have all of those emotions. But we're doing things, so many of us in this room are doing things that we never thought possible, but doing it just purely on the word of the Lord. And that's the season we're in. We have to be able to position ourselves and take responsibility. So what metron is he giving you to govern? What's he saying to you about how does he want his, you know, apart from us, his kingdom doesn't come? What part does he want you to play, you know, even as you're going through this intensive, like what things prophetically is he showing you that you need to build? And be ready to be the answer as he speaks to you, like, you know, to take responsibility and position your heart, you know, I think for all of us to position our heart to be able to get a read on the season and the times that we're in. Get a true read and really get a true understanding of whose you are and that identity being so founded in him that like Daniel, you're able to go, this is your nature, this is how you can operate through me, and I can call God, I'll call you to account on your covenant with us and your kingdom coming. So I think it's great opportunity and invitation for each one of us to go, you know what, I'm stepping in to that anointing of the sons of Issachar, and I'm stepping into taking by the reins that responsibility and going, you know what, not on my watch. So I'm going to hand it to Daryl because I know he wants to land in a particular way.
Awesome. Can take some responsibility. Some of us are, some of us are not. My responsibility involves bins at home. Do I enjoy it? No, but does it need to be done? Yes. And so it was very good. Thank you. It was awesome. Can we just do the offering quickly? I'm going to talk to you really quickly about Bible translations. We'll do like a living room chat for 5 minutes. If we could do the offering, that would be amazing. A couple of things coming up while we're doing that. What have we got coming up at Field of Dreams? Calling all creatives. Who's creative in here? There you go. Just go to that. Okay, next. What else have we got coming up? Was that good? Okay, good. Okay. Tabernacle of David. Who likes to worship? Awesome. Go to that. And so... And what else do we have? Flashlight Youth. Who's young in here? Okay, don't go to that. Okay. I just, because of the hands, Kate, it was really good. No, Flashlight Youth is so good. Kate heads it up. It's awesome. Please do go to that. Or don't go to it. Send people to that. Anything else? No? Okay, awesome. Great. I'm going to just want to go through this really quickly. I had a couple of questions. Why did you tell us to read a literal translation, or at least advise us to read a literal translation? Do you have a... okay, how are we going to do this? Can you put up John chapter 5, verse 1 for me? Just let's have a quick look through John chapter 5, and then I will explain something. I might even sit down. Okay, John chapter 5, verse 1. It was just a chill-out chat now, isn't it? Okay, you don't need to... This isn't a preach. Okay, now... Okay, so after these things, let's read this together. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Verse 4. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. Just, okay, can we put up the same scripture in the NIV, please? Awesome. NIV, you guys can just read it. Okay, sometime later, Jesus went up, let's read it together, to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now they're in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which is in Aramaic, called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, or porticos, or whatever you want to call it. Okay, here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Okay. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. That was 5:5. Hold on, go back to 5:3. 5:4. 5:4. 5:4. 5:4. 5:4. 5:4. Hold on. What about for an angel stirred the waters in particular seasons? We just read that, didn't we, in the New American Standard Bible? Why isn't it in the NIV? I'm going to share with you guys something really cool. So can we do something without looking around? Okay, who can do it without looking around? This is cool. I'm going to sit here so I can do this thing. Who has an NIV Bible on you now? A literal Bible. Do you want to bring it up here? Don't be scared. This is what I want to do in front of a table. Who has a New American Standard actual Bible on them? I know everyone uses it. Do you want to bring it up? Don't be scared. All good. Thank you for doing that. Okay, who has a New American Standard Bible? Okay, have you got it on you? Oh, well, we could just have a phone and then just stack the phones, you know. But it's much better to see the literal. Thank you so much for letting me borrow that. That's wonderful. We're going to put that here. Who has a New King James? A real one in person. Great, can you bring it up? Oh my goodness, this is so embarrassing. Oh my goodness, what happened? tell you what happened. Snacking happened. Okay. Okay, cool. Awesome. Okay. NASB, who has an NLT on them? Great. Could you bring it, a real one? Could you bring that down? Doing it just like this, just for a minute. Is this okay? Just want to do this. I think it's really important. You, if you've done Illuminate, you've heard me say this before. Okay, cool. NLT, wow, Poi Ming. She's one of the leaders here. Don't worry, we'll change her. And so now, okay, all good. No, there's a reason that I want to do this. Okay, so. Okay, New American Standard. Okay, I'll just do it. This will be enough. I can't even read that. What is that one? New King James. Awesome. Okay, cool. Okay. We'll just do it. We'll do it really simply for you. Keep that here. Put this over there. I'm joking. Okay, cool. No. I'm being, if we had the Passion Translation, I'd put it there. Okay, Okay. Reason I'm doing this, can everyone see this? Okay. All right. Really simple. Okay. When you read a Bible, you're not reading a Bible. You are reading a manuscript. Everyone say manuscript. These are made from manuscripts. Do you understand that? Does everyone get that? When they translated, they chose particular manuscripts for these to be translated from. Those manuscripts came from two main places. One was called the Textus Receptus. Everyone say Textus Receptus. And one was called the Alexandrian. Everyone say Alexandrian. Now, Textus Receptus, New King James. You can say that. And King James. And the Young's Literal, but we don't have one and we don't really read them very much at all. These are the only Bibles from the Textus Receptus. There was nothing else translated from that. A guy called Erasmus set it all up. Okay, next. We have the Alexandrian. Everything else was based on the Alexandrian text block. Now, literal translations literally go word for word from the Greek or from the Hebrew. So if you have a King James, it's word, everyone say word for word. If you have a New King James, it's called a literal translation. It's word, everyone say word for word. If you have a New American Standard, everyone say word for word. If you have an NIV, it's a dynamic equivalent with 16 verses taken out that are in the literal translations. No disrespect. Thank you for lending me this, but we'll just keep hold of it and then get rid of it for you. And so the NLT, exactly the same. It's a dynamic equivalent. They do not read according to the original manuscripts. They take a manuscript and they kind of muck around with it a bit and then they represent it in a particular way. Is that good or bad? Bad if you're trying to read a literal translation. Now, literal translations, New King James, everyone say New King James. King James, everyone say King James. New American Standard, everyone say New American Standard. Amplified, everyone say Amplified. ESV, everyone say ESV. That's really it. In every other translation is not a literal translation. Read from those and you will find the Passion Translation is literally so amazing as a third read. But I'm telling you right now, you read the Passion, you read the New American Standard, they read differently because they're actually coming from different places and it's actually translated from the Aramaic. So, in saying that, everyone grab your communions. This is a repentance moment. Thank you for bringing these up here. I want to get you guys out on time. Okay, couple of things, okay. To tear them off. Okay, now, really, really quickly on the translations, I just wanted to get rid of the tearing. I'll go into this in more depth in the future, but the bottom line is this, that not all Bibles are created equal. And what's really important is that you know when you're reading something that it's actually coming from the original text. The original text being either the Textus Receptus or the Alexandrian text block with a literal translation. Is that good? Okay, so what we've got, I've done this already, but Textus Receptus, Alexandrian, pick one of the literal translations. The reason I wanted to put the books up here is because this is actually what the Bible is. Does that make sense? You read it on your phone, but this is actually the translation of the manuscripts into paper. And so what I really wanted to want you guys to do is see that these are not all created equal, to be perfectly honest. And if you were really, and please, Poiming, please forgive me. Please forgive, can you forgive me? If you are studying out the Word of God, that's literally where these guys go and everything else is over there. It's literally that bad. True story. Okay, cool. Can you put the pads on? Is everyone good? I was a bit passionate about it, so I would save it for the school. Okay. Wow. Okay, awesome. Why doesn't everyone stand up for a sec? Okay. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's pray this together. You just pray this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we choose to take responsibility. We choose to be like the sons of Issachar, who knew the seasons and times under heaven. We choose to say, not on my watch. Whatever it looks like, whatever it takes, we choose to align to your word for us in this season to appropriate the kingdom of heaven into the fullness of the way you want to see it manifest. In Jesus' name, you take your communion. Say something relatively strong but really exciting at the same time. You know, many people died to give you your Bible. Many people died to give you your Bible, to actually give you the translation of the Bible, which is a literal translation. What's so exciting is God wants to remind us what it looked like and what it cost for this to be produced in its original form. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now that there would be for all of us a revival in a hunger for the Word of God, especially in this prophetic intensive with our special editions. God, I just thank you that people would see the merit and enjoy doing their daily read in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, that there would literally be an insatiable hunger in us for the Word and an appreciation of what it cost in order to see that word released to us. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just prophesy that everyone here and anyone listening to this on podcast, that we would literally be like noble Bereans who studied the word of God, who stewarded the word of God in order to know what the scripture says. And so, Father, I thank you that we are a people and we will continue to be a people who are built on your word. Who are built on your word, who live in your word, and who are established in your word, never letting it depart from our mouth. Never letting that depart, basically, from our heart. We're always meditating on it day and night. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Awesome, awesome, guys. Did you guys enjoy this afternoon? Was it good? Come on. And this morning, listen to Maddie's message from this morning. It was absolutely brilliant. It really was. So, yeah, you can take your seats if you want. If your Bible's up here, please do come and collect it. Poiming, don't bother. And so everyone else, sorry, had to wind her up. Come on. I'm not anti any of these translations. I'm just anti them as a primary, okay, that was a lie. Okay. Thank you. It has to say what it says. It has to say what it says. The New American Standard and the Amplified New King James, King James, it says what it says, but the others don't say it. Test me in this, says Daryl. Please, just think about it. Is that good? Awesome. Guys, it's been such a pleasure to have you with us. Next week, we're delighted to hear from Christina. It's going to be amazing. So, come on. So bring your tissues, because I'm sure there'll be some heart work going on. But it's really good. But thank you for being with us today, whether you're morning, afternoon, whenever you came. Thanks for being with us. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you next week for Prophetic Intensive. It's going to be amazing. And don't forget, if you've failed on your additions and subtractions, if you have failed, Emily, you can always start from today. So you can start again from today. All right, bless you guys. Have a great night. Sleep well. Take care.